bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Tim Wilson, recently elected member for Goldstein, not Goldstein, Goldstein, we're calling it, and ex-Human Rights Commissioner. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good, Macca. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. I've got...
Congratulations there, Tim.
Thank you. That's very kind.
And I've got Tass, as you just heard, and Justin Smith from 3AW is joining us. Who's going to go first?
I will. That's all right. Tim, congratulations. Hope you've been well.
Thanks, Brad.
I want to ask you, just before we get into anything else, the Kevin Rudd business with the UN, it's been a hell of a mess over the last 48 hours or so. What do you make of it? What's your read?
I think the country actually isn't united behind Kevin to go for this role, and you actually have to expend political chips in terms of your relationship with other countries if you want to get somebody up, and I don't think the country is overly enthusiastic, and I think the Prime Minister made the right decision. I know some people have different views on it, but in the end, Kim Beazley put it best, you know, if you're going to go for it, you've really got to go for it and throw everything at it, and I don't think we were in the place where anybody was prepared to throw everything at it.
Look, and it's your boss's job to make a call on it. I don't think anyone would deny that. But I ask you this, from a political standpoint, how the hell did he make such a mess out of it over the last 24 hours? Should have been pretty easy, you would think.
I just think there are rightly different views. We all want to back Australians, even the ones, you know, it's not a secret that people like Kevin Rudd and myself would have differences of opinion, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't support people. I just think people looked at it and they were like, should we support somebody just because it's Australian, or should we actually make a really serious fist of it and fight for it? And no one was quite clear whether we wanted to do that or not.
All right,
and they had to go through a discussion.
Did the Prime Minister give him his support, though, in the past, to lead him to believe that he was going to get it?
I have no idea. I don't follow the... individual correspondence between the Prime Minister and former Prime Minister.
Oh, you could pick the papers up, but it's in there.
I see what's in the papers today. I see what Kevin's claiming. I'm sure there were discussions about it, but everybody wants to read into discussions what you want. Kevin obviously wanted the job. I get that. But it doesn't necessarily mean he was going to get the support to get there.
Fair enough. All right, so the boss made the right call. You back him to the hilt.
The boss made the right call on this one.
So a bit of the conversation in here this morning has been about whether the government might actually support somebody like former New Zealand Prime Minister Helen Clark. Do you have an opinion about that?
I don't think there's a preferred candidate from my perspective, but I think Helen's, you know, the whole of New Zealand is united behind Helen's candidature. I have no issue supporting her. My biggest concern for Helen is that this is a process where you've got countries like from the Middle East and Africa who don't tend to like women in positions of authority, and particularly progressive women. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a pretty strong campaign against her. I don't say that with any joy, but it does worry me a bit. About whether she's going to have a chance of getting there versus an Eastern European who seemed to be a safer pair of hands. And nobody ever wants a Secretary General who's going to go around pontificating to the world. Most of them just want them there to be benign.
That's a pretty interesting perspective. Thanks for that, Tim. Tim, we might move on a little bit if that's okay.
Sure.
It's been a pretty momentous week. You know, on Monday we had some interesting reports about what's occurring in the juvenile justice sector in the Northern Territory.
Yep.
And later in the week we, of course, had some further allegations against the Catholic Church, and in particular George Pell. Let me start with the latter issue. What's your response to the allegations against George Pell?
Everybody is innocent until proven guilty. It doesn't matter who it is. And I've seen the allegations. There have been people who have put a face to the allegations. Until there's, actual consideration of it, and if it's prosecuted, I don't think it's appropriate for me to offer comment.
Look, that's a very, very measured response from you, Tim. I absolutely expected that from you.
Well, it would be irresponsible to do anything else. There are a lot of people, obviously, who have a beef with Cardinal Pell. for various reasons, some theological, some because of his past political positions, and also because of his conduct in terms of exactly these types of issues in the past. But to go out there, and particularly somebody in a position of responsibility like myself, and declare somebody innocent or guilty would be grossly irresponsible.
Would you expect the government to compel his return should these allegations started to get legs?
Well, I think everybody should face the justice system, but I don't know what our treaty arrangements are around extradition for the Vatican. I imagine we don't have any. And so I think it really comes down to whether Cardinal Pell feels absolutely confident about his position.
But if the Victoria Police, I think they've given it to the DPP, Tim, if the Victoria Police decide they want to interview George Pell over these specific allegations, you'd support him coming back. He should come back, you're saying.
It may not be necessary. We saw this when he dealt with the Royal Commission. He did it by video link, and that's an entirely reasonable, proportional thing to do.
Big difference between big difference between fronting a Royal Commission and being charged with sexual abuse.
No, that's true, but if we're in the exploratory phase and only allegations have been made, if it's a different prospect around actually facing a court, it's a different thing to being interviewed by the police.
Tim, it's Pete Dillon here. I'm a survivor of clerical sexual abuse in the Catholic Church in that diocese.
Yep.
I would like to see the government take some action to try and compel his return. He was advised in his video link to the Royal Commission. There was a team of lawyers sitting in that room giving him answers. I would like him to answer with his hand on his Bible and his heart, honestly and truthfully, as much as he knows. And I think there are a great many others who would demand the same thing of our government.
Sure, and I can understand that, and that's why I say each step has a proportionate response, and the automatically compelling him to come back when it's only investigation would be, I think, disproportionate. If there is actually an issue around actually being charged with something, that's a very different discussion.
Like to move it on, Tim, to the Northern Territory. I assume that you watched Four Corners.
I did watch it, yes.
And what was your first thought when you saw some of that footage, as an ex-Human Rights Commissioner?
I think my response was the same as everybody else's, which is nothing but absolute disgust. But my perspective, having spent a lot of time in the Northern Territory and with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, is that there's the specific issues that with the video footage that was shown and how people are being treated, but it's part of a much broader issue around Aboriginal incarceration rates. And there's something more holistic that needs to be dealt with than just the individual issues, but that is a long-term cultural issue that needs to be addressed.
Tim, it shocks the hell out of people, I think, and we're still trying to process it, that this is our country. That we've got juveniles and obviously troubled juveniles and that's our only response up there. That's our only way of dealing with it. As I said,
I think people are shocked and for exactly the right reasons, because you look and go, this cannot be 21st century Australia.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem consistent with, you know, most of our way of life, and that's why the Prime Minister's action swiftly in calling a Royal Commission into that centre is 100% right.
Does it need to be maybe a little bit broader, not just the NT, but to go out just a little broader to make sure that we've covered all this off here with the Royal Commission? Or are you satisfied with just the Northern Territory?
No, I think the Royal Commissions are there to identify specific issues of fact. So I think it's appropriate to have a Royal Commission specifically in that issue, but it does not mean that there isn't a role for a broader federal inquiry to deal with the issues around incarceration, but particularly around incarceration rates of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders.
Tim, unfortunately, we've run out of time, but we really appreciated your views and your thoughts and your contribution to the discussion. We'd like to have you back on again sometime, if that's okay.
You just let me know when.
And, fabulous.
And the invite is still there to come in and co-host for an hour.
All right, wonderful. I'll take that up.
Good on you. Thanks a lot, Tim.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.